The following program is pre-recorded. We had a good run over a decade, but the much-feared bear market has Wall Street in its grip. What better time for a refresher course on the basic principles of investing straight from God's Word? The Bible tells us that Christians are not to fear anything in this world, bear markets included. Today, Kingdom Advisors President Rob West tells you how to banish fear from your investment decisions. Then it's your calls and questions on anything financial at 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore, Biblical Principles for Investing, next right here on MoneyWise. Well, Rob, these days, between watching cable financial shows and fretting over our 401ks, it's enough to drive a person crazy, isn't it?
No question about it, Steve. So the first piece of advice is to stop fretting and turn off the TV. If you're following God's investing principles, you have nothing to fear.
All right. Well, let's get to it then. What's our first biblical principle for investing?
Well, that would, of course, be it's not your money. God owns everything. But that principle is fundamental and should be a part of every financial decision we make, not just for investing. Mm-hmm. Since we're stewards of God's resources, we should always ask ourselves, how does God want me to save, spend, and invest his money? Now, moving into things specific to investing, a basic principle is that you have to live on less than you earn. That's the only way you'll have anything to invest. Proverbs 21:20 says, "Precious treasure and oil are in the wise man's dwelling, but a foolish man devours it."
Well, that makes sense. If you're living beyond your means, running up debt, and trying to invest all at the same time, you're just spending your future returns. All right, what's next?
Well, next is that the concept of saving or investing for the future is entirely biblical. Consider Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 8. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. You see, this means it's wise to save for the day when you're no longer able to work due to age or health reasons.
Yeah. All right. Good one. What else?
The next biblical investing principle is, of course, diversification. That sounds modern, but the principle is ancient. Ecclesiastes 11:2 teaches, "Divide your portion to seven or even to eight, for you do not know what misfortune may occur on the earth." You see, that means you don't want all of your assets in the stock market, even if they're in an indexed mutual fund. Or even if your company offers a very attractive stock option, you don't want all of your money in company stock. You need to invest outside of that plan as well. Some of your assets should be in bonds and other safer investments, maybe just a little in precious metals. Allocating your assets across a range of investments, or what are called asset classes, can offset losses in one area with gains in another.
And you can do that easily enough by investing in a target date fund where your assets are moved automatically from higher to lower risk as you near your retirement age. And I've heard you recommend these numerous times, Rob.
I sure have, yeah.
All right. Okay, what's next?
Well, speaking of risk, Steve, all investments carry some risk. Typically, the higher the risk, the greater the potential for gain. So you have to know the level of risk with any investment you make, which brings us to our next principle. Only invest in a company or mutual fund that you understand. Proverbs 27:23 warns us, "Know well the condition of your flocks and pay attention to your herds."
And speaking of flocks, don't invest in an emu farm unless you really know something about emus.
Yeah, good advice.
Spelled E-M-U. All right, what else?
I would just say first, though, Steve, only a bird watcher would think of that. All right, our next biblical investing principle is patience. Studies have shown that buying and holding on to good investments for a long period of time is more likely to build wealth than even a well-thought-out buy-and-sell strategy. If you make automatic monthly contributions to your retirement fund, a bear market is actually a good thing because you're able to buy more shares at a lower price. When the market recovers, those additional shares will rise in value. That's the benefit of what's called dollar cost averaging. Proverbs 21:5 puts it like this: steady plodding brings prosperity, hasty speculation brings poverty.
Not to be confused with hasty pudding, which brings only cornmeal mush.
I guess you looked that one up.
I did.
Our last biblical investing principle, Steve, is don't be greedy. In Luke 12:15, Jesus says, "Be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." You see, giving breaks the power of money to make us greedy. Our friend Ron Blue suggests that our giving should match what we invest.
All great advice for investing wisely and biblically, which automatically takes the fear out of it. Thanks, Rob. Your call's next on MoneyWise at 800-525-7000.
Money and life run on the same track, but unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment. Available when you click the store button at moneywise.org.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org. Okay, again, our phone number, 800-525-7000. We'd love to chat with you today. Open lines now, so give us a call. Raleigh, North Carolina. Hello, Annie. What's on your mind today?
I was calling because I'm in my mid-60s, and I do not have a retirement plan in place. And that's because I'm a caregiver, and I've been a caregiver for many years. And I wondered if there was any suggestions you can do for someone that's in my predicament where I'm in my 60s and now I'm trying to figure out how can I save money for, you know, later to take care of myself.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I can certainly understand, Annie, that you would want to start putting something away, given that you've not been able to do that to this point. I think the first question is beginning to evaluate what your need will be in that next season of life. When you stop working, either because the Lord redirects you to a new assignment or at some point, if you're unable to work full time, like can happen so often, what will your lifestyle look like? Meaning, what is your budget going to look like? What will your expenses be? How modest can you live? Are you going to be in a position, if you're not already at that point, where you're completely debt-free, where you can get your expenses down as low as possible? Beginning to anticipate what that budget might look like once you're no longer working, because some expenses will probably come off the table. Oftentimes, in a retirement season of life, we'll live on around 70 to 75% of our pre-retirement income, because we're no longer saving for the future, and maybe the clothing budget changes a bit, and the kids are off the payroll, and hopefully we are debt-free at that point. Have you taken the time to quantify what that monthly need would be, and then perhaps compare that, Annie, to what your Social Security might provide so you can identify a gap in income that would exist, if at all?
Well, yes. To a certain degree, I have, because I've my house is paid for, but I did purchase a vehicle, and I've cut down on all of my other household expenses like electricity and the light, you know, water, whatnot. So I've taken a look at that. But even with my Social Security, because I'm drawing that now, and that's it's in the $900, $1,000. So that in itself is not enough to take care of me. So I have been continuously working part-time, but I don't see myself being able to just use the Social Security by itself to live off. I would still have to have some type of employment.
Yes, yes. And what would you say that gap would be between what your monthly need would be in that season? Let's say the car is paid off by then, and so you're really down as low as you could be in terms of your expenses. What would be the gap between the Social Security you would expect and what you would really need on a monthly basis?
The gap would then be, I would say, probably about $700-$800.
Okay. All right. So $700 or $800 a month means that you're going to need about $10,000 a year. So what we need to do is begin to look at that as a starting point, just to say how much would you need to accumulate. The challenge is, if you were to save, let's say, $100,000between now and when you decide to retire, you'd still need to get an 8% return on that money. To generate $8,000 a year, which still wouldn't quite meet what you're talking about here. But that would be more than we would want to be pulling from a retirement account in order for you to be able to live off just the interest, because we'd typically want you to only pull about 4%, which is going to be about $250,000 to generate $10,000 a year. So obviously that's going to be challenging. So what do we do if we can't get there? Well, I think it's just a function of two things. Number one, can you get your expenses even lower than they are today, and certainly not taking on any new debt, completely eradicating the existing debt, perhaps looking at downsizing or having a roommate if you're a single person, looking at other opportunities even beyond this job to continue to work part-time as your health allows you to do so to offset that, and then to create as much margin now as you possibly can to be able to put something away for the future. In terms of where you would put that as a private caregiver, you're probably an independent contractor, you'd probably want to start with a traditional IRA. You could put in, once you're over age 50, $7,000 a year. I'd do that at either Vanguard or Schwab in their intelligent portfolios. Either one of those options would be great. And try to put in systematically every month if you can. If you can do more than $7,000 a year, then I'd look at a SEP, S-E-P IRA, and you can do that at both of those institutions. But do me a favor, go back to the budget, take a hard look at it, see what expenses you can cut to free up margin, then open one of those, either the traditional or the SEP IRA, and see if you can start funding that monthly in a bond portfolio with a little bit of allocation to stocks.
And Annie, give us a call back if we could help you in the future as you work through this. Thanks so much for calling. Grand Junction, Colorado. Now we say hi to Randy, and you have a 401k question, Randy?
Yes, I do.
All right.
I've got a target dated 401k, and I was just wanting to maybe manage it more myself, and just if you guys could recommend, maybe some books, websites, something to learn about all this.
Sure. Yeah, the only challenge with a 401k, and I'm not against them by any means, I think it's the place to go as a starting point for your retirement savings, especially with matching. But the only downside is just that you are, in fact, limited in the investment options inside the 401k to whatever the 401k administrator makes available. So a lot of people choose the target date funds just because they're easy in the sense that you don't have to put a lot of time and energy into researching the investment options, and it can make sure that you're, in effect, rebalancing over time to move more and more conservative as you approach retirement, and that you don't get overly aggressive at any point, or you're not too conservative while you still have some time. But if you'd like to take a more proactive approach, there's nothing wrong with moving out of the target date fund and essentially using the other funds that are in there to build your own allocation. And one reason why you'd want to do that is if, for instance, you wanted to be a bit more aggressive than perhaps the target date fund is, or you'd want to be more conservative. Either option would allow you to take the funds that are in there and, in a sense, build your own allocation toward, stocks and fixed income. And in the stock part of the equation, you could, choose the more aggressive or the more conservative options. So I think there's a couple of things you need to do. Number one is you need to get the the plan information so you can get the prospectus for each of the funds that are there and become familiar with the various options you have. And then secondly, I want to send you a book. If you hold on the line here, Randy, we'll send you Austin Pryor's Sound Mind Investing Handbook. This is really going to give you a good overview of investing so you can understand what you're looking for and what is the right allocation for your age and risk tolerance and objectives. But it's all done with a biblical perspective. And that's, of course, what we're really interested in. So if you hang on the line, we'll get you that book. Go ahead and order or request a copy of each prospectus from the funds inside the 401k. So as you're reading it, you'll be able to look those over and then you can make some choices. And if you have any specific questions along the way, Randy, give us a buzz.
Randy, we appreciate your phone call today. We wish you the best with that. Thank you very much. It's good to have you listening today, and we appreciate your support as well. Support that's so vital to keep us on the air. You can give quickly and safely by clicking the donate tab when you visit moneywise.org. More after this.
Even in these uncertain times, you can replace fear with hope. And Michael Blue's new book, Financial Hope, is a hands-on study to help you do just that. A short assessment will show you exactly where you are now. You'll then unlock the four H's of biblical financial wisdom and put your action plan in writing to transform your finances. Right now, request your copy of Financial Hope when you support MoneyWise with a gift of $25 or more at moneywise.org.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Let's go to Florida and say hi to Ardley.
Ardley, thank you for calling. How can we help you?
I'm about to buy a used car. In fact, it's a used truck. I was wondering, I have a car. I bought a brand new car 2015. And 6 years to pay it off. So my goal was to pay it off in 5 years. And I'm about to reach my goal. My previous car that I have, it was written off, so I got $3,800. So I have that saved towards a down payment for the next car. So my question is, I have $3,000, maybe $500 on this previous car that I'm paying for. So I'm asking what I should do, if I should pay off for that car and just go with no down payment on the next truck that I'm going for.
Okay, I'm trying to follow you. So you said you have $3,800 that you've saved up in cash. Is that right, toward the next car?
No, that's what I got for the car that was written off. They pay me, the insurance pay me for that money for that car, so I have it saved.
Right. Okay, so you no longer have the car, but you owe the $3,500, and the insurance company gave you $3,800. Am I following you correctly?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. And so, yeah, we absolutely have to pay that off because you owe that debt, and that was what that insurance payment was for. Glad that they came through with at least what you still owed, and you're still going to have $300 over and above that. The question then you're asking is, where do I go from here? And that's the right question to ask. What I would love for you to have is, if you're buying a new car, which you're probably not, but if you were to buy a new car, I like a 20%, if not more, but at least 20%. As a down payment, just to make sure you have some equity. You're not ever going to be upside down. With a used car, you could go as low as 10%. Again, I'd love for you to buy it for cash if you could save it up, but I realize in many cases that's not a possibility. And so a 10% down payment at a minimum would be my goal. So what are you looking to spend on this next car?
Maybe $20,000, $25,000.
Okay. All right. And then why do you need another car?
Yes, I need a truck.
You need a truck. Okay.
Okay.
Well, you shouldn't purchase it without any down payment at all. I mean, right, Rob? I mean, we want to put some money down. We don't want to finance the whole thing.
Well, that's exactly right. Yeah, and the challenge there, Ardley, is you're going to get into it, and you could potentially be upside down very soon. So here's what I'm saying. I think you just don't have enough in the way of liquid reserves. And so if I were you, I would be looking at buying something a lot less expensive, and I'd try to wait as long as you could to buy it so you could save. That's going to come back to your spending plan and really going to require that you do some hard work to try to pare your lifestyle so you can free up some margin and continue to put money away so you're ready to buy that car, and when you do, I'd be looking for something less than $25,000.
You know, Rob, other than your house, an automobile purchase is probably the largest purchase most people will make, and when you add them all up over a lifetime, it's really, really substantial. So, yes, you know, we kid a little bit about the new car smell and driving a Mercedes-Benz or a Ferrari or something like that, but obviously we all need something to drive to work in and do errands and things like that. Most of us will buy a car at some point, but you don't want to let the newness of a car, the flash of a car, get the better of your budget. You want to be something, buy something that's a good value. You want to be thoughtful when you do this, and obviously something that you and your spouse agree on. Any other thoughts, recommendations in that regard, Rob?
No, I think you're right on, Steve. You've got to start with the spending plan and make sure you're not buying something to compete with somebody else or because you liked what you saw on Facebook or Twitter. It's got to fit within your budget and with what you have available.
All right. Again, we're taking your financial calls on anything today, 800-525-7000. If you have a question, if you have a concern, if you have a testimony of sorts, we'd love to hear from you, 800-525-7000. Marcia is in Chattanooga, and what's on your mind today? Day, Marcia?
I have a house that I still owe about $32,000 on. I'm probably about 15 years. And it has been sitting vacant for some time. I have two children. Neither one of them, they have their own homes, so they don't want it. I live in another location with my husband. And my nephew and his wife do not have a home. They are renting. So I want to make an agreement with him if he will pay rent to make the payments on the house. And then when the payments are made in the 15 years, I want him to have the home. But he's going to pay rent to me to make the payments for the rest of the time. So I want to find out if that is a good idea, or if there's some agreements we should make. How should I go about this?
Yes. Yeah, I think it is a good idea, something you can definitely pursue. You want to do it the right way, both from a legal standpoint as well as from a tax standpoint, because the IRS is going to want to make sure that the rent that you're charging is customary and fair according to what it would be typical in that area. And you're going to want to have everything clearly spelled out with a rent-to-own agreement. So what I would recommend you do, Marcia, is visit with a real estate attorney, someone who perhaps from your church or local area has specializes in this area, who's an attorney, but does real estate closings and is well-versed in real estate law, who could draw up a rent-to-own agreement, help you work through that process to make sure that it's handled properly, and even handle the tax side of it as well, or refer you to somebody who can. But I think this is a great way to bless your nephew, assuming this is the home he wants to own, that he could be working toward that home ownership by paying you rent, and then that would be credited toward his ultimately being able to own it outright. And of course, at that point, it would be in his name. So if you don't have someone that you know of in your area, you could go to our website, find a certified Kingdom advisor there in Chattanooga. Just go to moneywise.org, click on Find a CKA, and then ask for a referral to a real estate attorney who could help you draw up a simple agreement, make sure it's done properly, but give both of you the peace of mind that you know you're working towards something, and I think this will be a great blessing for him.
Gotcha. Rob West, always a great pleasure, sir. Thank you for your time, and we'll come back tomorrow and do it again.
Very good, Steve. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Rob. Well, before we run today, I'm curious as to how you think about money. Do you control how you spend it, save it, or give it? Or does it seem to control you? You know, the Bible has a lot to say about money, and we have lots of resources on our website to help you get a better understanding of biblical money management. You'll find them all when you click the store button at moneywise.org, moneywise.org. Well, that's it for today. For Rob West, I'm Steve Moore, hoping you'll join us again next time right here on MoneyWise.
MoneyWise is provided by MoneyWise Media and by listeners like you.